This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 358. My Beyond should have been better than this. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. We are back after our little break.
I hope everybody missed us.
You know we missed you. We missed you so much.
Wait, what?
Shut up, we missed
it. Yeah, right, yeah.
God, we practiced
it. Oh my God. I totally read line 7 and not line 4.
I told you. We are gonna say that we miss them. We were gonna have a freaking moment.
Man.
And then it was gonna be golden. Why do you always mess this up?
Because I'm redeemable.
No, you're not. You're supposed to do the damn homework. Do your homework.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm not.
I know you're not. Fucking Weasley ass. Anyway.
It makes her so mad.
It makes me so mad. Anyway, we have a brand new episode of our weekly podcast. We've been able to actually, well, some of us do our homework and finish the damn thing.
I'm like
that we're talking
80%
about today.
Done.
And yet, guess what?
That's I have a B minus.
That's a B minus. That is not a passing grade as far as I'm concerned.
B minuses are totally passing grades.
Not in the land of Ish. A B minus means you missed it, bitch. That's what a B minus did. An A means awesome sauce. You completed the assignment.
What's an A minus mean?
Well, you completed the assignment, but you didn't really put in all the effort. Now, did you?
At a B plus?
Mm-mm. Bitch, please.
At a B?
I said, bitch.
You know, I'm glad I didn't go to college in Land of Ash because I'd be fucked.
No, it's difficult. In the Land of Ash, you got to represent. Ain't no half-stepping in the land of Esh. Okay. No coasting. You gotta bring your A game. See, get it? A game.
A game.
Yeah.
Gotta bring A game.
It's all about the A or nothing.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's up. So, you missed it, bitch. But that's okay. That's all right. I have love and understanding for you in my heart, but I'm so mad. But before we get into why I'm so mad, we got to talk about last week's question, which was the week before's question, because last week we had a holiday in the state of Massachusetts, so we had
Columbus
a holiday.
Columbus Day?
So we, now, hold on. There's a lot of feelings about Columbus Day. We want everyone out there to understand that we only appreciate that it means it's a day that we don't have to go to our day jobs.
Yep.
Okay? That's all we appreciate about Columbus Day.
Yep.
That's it. All right, because Columbus.
Oh my God, I get a free day off and I'm still getting paid for it. Woohoo!
Exactly. That's what Columbus Day is to us because
I don't have to deal with children today.
I want to make sure that we're clear because Columbus was a dick.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not celebrating like, hey, yeah, Columbus, do your thing.
Hey, he totally just came to some land that was already owned and kind of re-owned it.
Exactly. Like, you can't discover a land that already has people on it. All right.
Hey, you random person, what place is this?
It's mine now, bitch.
Mine now, bitch.
Okay. Columbus was a dick.
Yeah.
It's just that we got the day off of work. So we're like, yay! That's it. That's all we appreciate about that holiday.
Yeah.
All right? All right.
Moving on.
The question of the week back in the day was
Beyond Two Souls. Are you getting it for the PS3 or are you holding out for a PS4 release?
All right. So we took to the interwebs because we are of the interwebs. You are of the interwebs. And Panda, what was the sayings from the interwebs?
Believe it or not, a lot of people were doing this. So we got about 6 comments.
Woohoo! Improvement!
So 6 responses out of, 2 weeks of
dude,
having
that's
question.
Like a 40% improvement rate.
So I'm happy. I'm very happy for this. Thank you, guys. But it seems generally everyone kind of did this.
And well, this is...
And this is, I pre-ordered it, but I really want it for the PS4. So I'm going to play it now. And I'm definitely going to play it on the PS4. So,
dang.
So a lot of people chose the option of both. It seems. We had DCD, our friend the DCD, who's just like, I like playing games now, so I'm playing it now. And I'm like, I totally get where you're coming from, DCD, because me, I like to play games now.
Yeah, I don't like to play games then, until then is now. And then I'm like, yeah, now then.
Yeah.
That hurt my head, but
and then another one of our friends out on Twitter, Red Entertainment, he's waiting out. He's holding out for the PS4. He wants it then.
Okay.
He wants it now in the future
Oh, gotcha. Yep. My.
In the future present, he wants it now.
It's hurting my head, but I'm following you.
And then over on our Facebook page, because, you know, we have one of those, and if you're not a fan over there, you should totally be
one. Fix that shit and become a fan of us on Facebook.
One of our avid fans, Calvin Collins,
yeah,
got it on release day. Got it that Tuesday.
Dig.
And then our friend Min, pre-ordered it, but is also kind of holding out for the next-gen release. So he pre-ordered it, but he might not have opened it yet.
Dig.
Or whatever. So, I like all the responses because it seems like a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know. Should I buy it now? Wait till later? But everyone's going to be talking about it. And it was smart if you went and pre-ordered it now. So, at least you could know the game and then experience it in all of its beautiful glory come November when, you know, the new consoles come out.
Yeah, because, I mean, here's the thing. I haven't seen yet a release date for a PS4 build of Beyond Two Souls. We know it's more than likely going to happen because it's a gorgeous freaking game, and why not? Quantic Dream, what's up? So, obviously, seeing as how today Panda and I are talking about and spoiling the shit out of Beyond Two Souls, we went ahead and got it for the PS3 on release day to play it. Frankly, though, I have absolutely every intention of playing it on the PS4 if it becomes available on the PS4. And I'm probably not going to play it through again, at least for a while, on the PS3. Waiting for that next replay to be on the PS4. Because I think
they're
making
some
things that they add.
And I'm going to sit there and watch her play it on her new console because I ain't got it like that. So I'm going to get all the trophies in PS3 land.
Panda's going for all the trophies.
Because this is my thought process. Because the new console's coming out, right?
Yep.
PS4's coming out.
Yep.
And everybody who can is going to jump on board to the PS4. And, yep, like, they're all going to go to PS4ville.
Yep.
And a lot of people are going to be leaving PS3 town.
Yeah.
And I'll become fucking boss of PS3 town.
That's true. I mean, you know, you...
No one's going to be watching PS3
basically
town.
Basically, what you're trying to say is you're about to become a big fish in a little fucking pond.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a little Kahlua today. I apologize.
Yeah, when you guys are all looking at the new bright lights, I'm going to be looking at the lights I couldn't
bright
see
lights,
the first time.
In the big city!
But anyway. But yeah, so I'm going to go after all the trophies because, you know, heavy
that's
rain,
what you
maybe.
Do.
That's what
that's
I do.
What you do.
I go for all the trophies.
Pandalicious is like, claim all the trophies.
It's
wash
like, oh,
none of the dishes.
Oh. Whoa, I did the dishes today, bitch. I did and I did some of the silverware.
See, we had this conversation.
Some is better than none, bitch.
Yes, yes.
Some is better than none.
We're talking about money. Yes, some money is better than no money. This
some
is true.
Forks is better than no forks.
But you know what's better than some forks?
All the forks.
All the forks.
Just anyway.
Throwing that out there, Panda. So anyway, thanks so much for asking our question.
So now we should answer.
We're going to answer, but I'm just going to say that before we get into it, at the end of this show, we'll announce the question for next week. We'll put it out on Twitter. We'll put it out on our Facebook page. And we'll also put it up on VOG Network. So make sure that you pick a spot, answer the question, do it before Saturday night, midnight of the week, and you'll be part of our show next week. So you'll be like internet famous for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Depending upon your response. So, with that said, I already kind of answered it for me because I said we both picked it up release day.
Yes.
So we had it. And you already
said
you're gonna
play all the
trophies.
So each of us have copies for the PS3.
And
we both have played it.
And I also said, if you had been listening to what I was saying,
which I don't often do,
you really don't. Really.
I love you.
Ever. But what I had said was that I finished my playthrough and that I probably wasn't going to play it through again until the PS4 version came out, because I imagine that when the PS4 version does drop, that there'll be some added things to it. You know, some extra experiments, maybe even alternate endings that are going to be available. So I probably won't play Beyond Two Souls all the way through again until I have my PS4 and there's a PS4 version, unless there's some DLC that's really motivating to change my mind on the PS3. Because when the PS4 drops, my PS3 is going in its box and is going into storage.
Okay.
So that's my answer.
Okay.
And we can already have your answer because you're like, I played it.
But I didn't finish it. Multiple times. I'm going to finish it multiple
times. Remember when you were like, all the trophies, and we had this whole thing about all the trophies? Remember that?
Because it was
like a couple of minutes ago?
Yeah.
Remember that conversation?
Yeah.
So we kind of already answered this already?
Yeah.
Even though you said we didn't?
And we're in circles.
I love you, Panda.
That's how my mind operates in continuous circles.
That's one way of saying your mind is operating.
It is. Spinning beach ball of death.
If you could just get the hamster on the wheel instead of running outside of the wheel on top of it, so many things
if
would work
spins,
better.
If it spins, it's still working.
Not if it's going in reverse.
It's spinning.
Until the fucking hamster falls off it.
Well, that happens a lot. But
it does.
He's prepared.
If your hamster
wears a helmet because he knows that there's an added risk to being outside of the wheel.
But if your hamster...
being outside of the wheel!
What? But if your hamster just ran inside the wheel, though, he wouldn't
need
the helmet.
He'd be more safe. But...
he wouldn't need the helmet.
But he likes to live dangerously.
Yes. Yes, that is an accurate statement.
His name is Carlos Dangerous.
Danger! Oh, I did the dance. Doesn't matter, though, because we're an audio podcast. So anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about Beyond Two Souls. So here's the first
thing. Two Souls!
Okay, 2 Chainz.
I honestly feel like I was going to totally find a picture of 2 Chainz and put a copy of Two Souls in his hand and be like, Two Souls! I totally thought about it. I seriously did.
I don't know why you don't do that.
I didn't, but maybe I will for this podcast.
Maybe you will, and that'll be awesome because it might be my wallpaper. So let's talk about this, guys. First of all, what I want to say is I am so impressed with this game. And there are a lot of people that say that this is not a game. And to you, I say, and I bite my thumb at you, sir. It is absolutely a game. It is, at its core, a choose-your-own-adventure game. And if you think otherwise, you're just wrong.
Go fuck yourself!
Now, are you going to be my Luther now and translate for me? That would be awesome. That'd be fantastic, actually, if you could do that for the next couple of minutes.
You know what? I might.
So here's what I have to say. Anybody who says that this isn't a game is really, really wrong in the head.
You people just don't know what you're talking about.
This is a choose-your-own-adventure where your decisions actually have ramifications and consequences as to how your story progresses.
Your X or Y depends on what happens. Why? Because it's your choice, bitch!
Oh, this is gonna work so well. So if you are saying that this isn't a game because you're not constantly button-mashing... you're just an unhappy individual in life.
You just don't know how to game, bitch.
Thank you, Panda. That worked out really well. I appreciate your translations.
You're welcome.
But seriously, because there are a lot of people that have been pushing back, and they say this about Heavy Rain as well, that it's not a game, it's more like a movie. And I will give you that, yeah, cinematically, the way that, because it's mo-capped, it plays like a movie. It is definitely... on the level of if you could literally just say play yourself, it would be a movie and be entertaining. Absolutely. But that doesn't necessarily negate the fact that the way that it is delivered now and how it works makes it a game. And not only a game, but frankly, in my mind, a great game.
Uncharted 3 was fucking mo-capped.
Yes.
It kind of played like a movie.
Yes, and you didn't have to button mash with the exception of a couple of quick time events in the game. But it's a traditional platformer, and so people more easily, I think, identify with a platformer and an action title and having to take a lot of actions with buttons and interacting with buttons a lot as, oh, okay, well, this is game. And if you don't have to do that, I think it's difficult for some people to equate the lack of constant interaction with a controller as meaning that you're, quote-unquote, playing a game. I disagree with that. I think that, you know, there are plenty of game titles that we played on the PC where you were clicking a simple yes or no answer, and then a story unfolded for you for a couple of minutes, and then you once again had to choose. So it wasn't a constant, you know, ASDW, you know, spacebar, plus clicking, you know, interaction constantly to progress the game forward. So I first have to take those people to task and say, stop and take a look at what it is that you're looking at and appreciate it.
Stop hating.
And appreciate it for what it is. And frankly, stop with the haterade.
It's mad beautiful.
Next piece I will say is, while I was not as emotionally affected,
I didn't cry that much
by Beyond Two Souls as I was with Heavy Rain. I
had to protect my son, man.
I'm still fucked up about my son. I absolutely was touched on emotional levels by this game.
I had so many feels, man.
Seriously, I had a lot of fucking feels, dude. Okay, Panda will tell you, when I finished the game, which I finished before her, which, by the way,
I'm never gonna say, happens.
Which I'm gonna say, it was totally fucked because she started the game 2 full days before me.
I had 48 hours ahead of her, and she still finished me to because her first ending.
Because this heifer kept jumping out to see if GTA Online
was finally working.
Was working yet or not. Yeah. And kept building characters just that got destroyed the next day and being pissed.
Hey, time out for a second, because let me tell you right now, right quick, quick tangent.
Yeah.
I'm kind of glad that I went and did that shit, because of all the fucking crap that was going on with characters being deleted and stuff, I'm gonna get $500,000 in GTAO.
That's great for you. Fantastic. But it still meant that your homework wasn't fucking done for this podcast.
You got a B minus.
B that minus. You got extra time to get it done by.
I know.
Because of the Columbus Day, and you still didn't turn the assignment in on time.
I know.
Serious CP time, bro. Serious.
I know, and I am never a person who falls back on her CP time, but you know what?
You fucking, not only did you fall off the horse, the wagon left you behind.
I'm still like, 2 cities away.
You're 2 cities away. We already done left the party, rolled to another party.
That's right, I didn't want to go to that first party anyway.
You're so full of shit.
I didn't want to go.
Yes, you did.
Anyway, let's get back to
the start
Beyonce.
Calling you Cinderella, because you broke bitch left behind.
Yeah.
So anyway.
That's right, because Cinderella got the prince, bitch.
Yes, but guess what? You didn't get to the ferry to get the glass slipper to go to the party because you didn't go to the party. You can't meet the prince if you're not at the party.
I was hitting them on Snapchat. Say, sorry, I missed you, boo. Selfie. I can't believe people talk like that now. It hurts my brain.
That's your people, not mine.
No, those are the people below me. Those are not my people.
Those are your people. You're responsible for them.
I'm old in the mind, several generations behind that. I have no stake in the people behind me. I don't. 1990s folks, I don't know you.
She's like, I don't know you like that, though.
I don't know you like that, bro. You were around, but we weren't, like, around.
You're killing me right now. So anyway, I finished the game before Panda, and, like, as soon as the credits started rolling, I ran upstairs.
Yeah, she literally did. And I was starting to play it, and she's like, did you finish? And I'm like, nah, dude, I'm at blah, blah, blah place.
And I was like, bro, I love you, bro. And I just gave her a hug.
Yeah, she gave me this big hug.
And she's like, are you all right?
What's going on?
What is wrong with
you? I didn't get a hug for Heavy Rain.
I was like, bro, well, we were in different states at the time.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was like, but seriously, bro, I love you so much.
She gave me this big hug, and I'm like, uh-oh.
And she's like, did something happen? And I was like, I finished the game, bro.
And she's like, oh, what happened? I'm like, I can't tell you, but I love you.
Yeah, and you just kept doing that. So I was like, oh, all right.
I was like, you need to finish the game, and you have to tell me some of the decisions you make, because I have a feeling that your decisions are going to be different than mine.
Yes. So,
let's get into that. By the way, I'm going to warn you guys right now. We are going to spoil the fuck out of this. And by so, me, I mean me, because the heifer behind me didn't finish her homework.
But I'm close, so I could spoil some of the things.
And I'm going to spoil the rest of it for her and for y'all. So if you haven't finished the game yet, don't listen to this podcast.
Don't listen to this podcast at all until the very end for the question of the week.
Yep. And really, for the question of the week, just go
to the Facebook page.
Just go to Facebook or watch Twitter. Just turn this podcast off.
Don't listen to this one until you've
turned it off right now, and then turn it back on at this minute marker when you finish the game.
Yeah.
We'll give you a second. All right. Everybody else that stuck around, let's get into this shit. So, Panda, I'm going to let you lead off on the basics of the story.
Cool.
And some of the decisions that you made early on that were kind of like, and then I'm going to jump in and just spoil the shit out of it.
Okay. So,
Panda was totally not prepared for me to say that right now.
No, I wasn't at all. And it completely blanked the whiteboard of my mind. And I'm like, start from the beginning.
I hit the dry erase like,
oh, I hate that. I hate when it squeaks. Or when you run your finger. Yeah, oh, I hate that. Anyway. So, Beyond Two Souls is the story of Jodi. And we're going through, I want to say, 20-odd years of her life. 26
yes,
years, 20
because
years.
We literally start with Jodi. I think the earliest piece, she's maybe 4.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, we're really floating through her stream of consciousness. So, she's telling us the story of her life, but it's all jumbled up. And she's trying to tell us them as, you know, as she can see them. Because she can see all of them, but they're just not in sequential order. So, you never get a full bearing as to the progression of the story until you're further along, because you jump from when she's 4 to when she's 14 to when she's 20.
It's like Memento.
Without tattoos.
Without tattoos.
Yeah, yeah. It's Mementos with a chick with no tattoos.
No, not Mementos, the fresh maker.
Yum.
It's like Memento, the movie,
without
tattoos.
And you being Ellen Page.
And you're Ellen
Page. You're Ellen Page.
And
you can't remember the order of your life.
And so you're trying
to piece them back together.
To piece it back together in order. Because you have these fragments of memory that you are able
to. But here's the constant. Throughout her entire life, she has been joined by an entity.
Yes.
And from the beginning of it, they just think she's kind of creepy. She's got these abilities. Her daddy thinks she's a monster. There's some big daddy issues.
Yeah, her daddy and her mom. It's obvious that her mom cares more about her than her dad. Her dad's kind of like a dick.
He's really. Like, it really kind of depends on the conversation. Because really, like, during my playthrough, there were certain pinnacle points where, you know, one of the interesting things about this game is that you can play it solo. Like, where you control both
solo
Jodi.
Dolo.
You can play it solo.
What? I've been drinking.
And you can play it, you know, play Jodi, move Jodi, and you can use 8 Aiden, the entity.
Okay, so let me stop you right there. Because, guys, we're going to fuck this up a bunch in the podcast. Because the entity's name and
it's
the way
Aiden,
that
but it looks like Aiden.
Yes, it is spelled Aiden, and she pronounces it Aiden the entire fucking thing.
And I think she does that for, like, A-I-I.
I don't know why. I don't know if that's maybe, like, how you actually really pronounce it, if you're Irish or whatever. I don't know. But here's the deal, guys, okay? All my life, A-I-D-E-N has been Aiden, okay? And so if you turn on the subtitles and you see her talking about Aiden all the time, you're like, oh, Aiden. But since she says Aiden, and you're like, what the fuck? Can't you read? That says Aiden. Like,
that's,
I found myself doing
like,
that sometimes.
That's kind of like what happened in Shyamalama Ding Dong's version of The Last Airbender, Avatar.
Yes.
Because he kept calling
Shyamalama Ding Dong. You stole that from me.
No.
I've always called him M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong.
And that's how you know we're related, because I didn't know that you called him that. I called him that. So we're joined. But anyway, so Aiden, the entity, have forever, since her existence, have been joined.
Since she can remember.
Yes, from the point that her mind has had cognitive ability. Yes. So, we are watching her relationship with Aiden.
Yep.
Her relationship with people.
Yep.
Her relationship with herself and what, you know, having this
entity attached to her, literally by a string that literally pulls from inside, like, her heart or soul to whatever Aiden is. And you never, until I'm assuming the end, ever really
get to see... Yeah, don't say you never, because you do.
You,
if you finished your homework, you would know this.
From the standpoint that I'm at, I have not fully seen a corporeal form for Aiden yet.
Oh, you're trying to get all big and fancy. Like, I haven't seen his corporeal form. Well, I haven't seen his evolved form.
I haven't seen his digi form.
That thing could be a Raichu and we don't even know it.
It's a Pikachu! I'm just kidding.
A fairy! Fuck!
That is a great vibe. It is. Anyway, backtracking.
Mm-hmm.
So
tangents, we have them.
All the fucking time. Anyway, and I mean, they really are trying to establish, like, I felt like
this. Can you game, please finish one thought? Because you keep jumping.
See? I'm like Jody. I can't put shit together.
Hold on. I need to put this shit together, because right now I can't follow where the fuck you're going.
Okay.
So let's bring this back. Okay. All right. So we've got Aiden, our entity that, for whatever reason, is linked to us.
Yes.
And early on, there are all kinds of weird little things that happen
around Jody.
Around Jody. And this is actually putting the story together in linear mode, not in the way that you play the missions in the game, because you jump all over the place. You start with Jody being older, you backtrack to her being younger. Again, like Memento, you're all over the place jumping back and forth. Literally, you learn very early on that this entity is very angry.
Mm-hmm.
It is very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
And Jody can't always control it. So right off the bat, early on, you realize that this isn't an extension of Jody. This is definitely
something. This is something totally something else.
That is completely
sentient.
Self-aware, sentient, like she says, and frankly, is angry all the time. Like, there are periods of time where Jody gets hurt and you're sure that it's the entity that's actually doing something to Jody. And as you get further on in the game, you realize that's not actually the case. And Jody's parents become aware that these weird things are happening. By the way, let's backtrack. Jody's parents.
Not her parents.
Damn it! I wasn't even gonna go there yet!
Oh.
I was going to say...
Whoops.
...are in the fucking service because they live on a base.
I just jumped into the spoiler pool. Went for a dip.
Fuck, Panda! Damn! But anyway, yeah, they're not our biological parents. Alright, so we'll get back to that. We find out, and you see very early on, that Jody's mom is very, very caring and protective of Jody. Even with, like, weird shit going on, she's constantly trying to get Jody to be a kid and have kid stuff. Like, there's a mission that you go through where it's a snow day, and Jody, you, are just walking around the house, fucking with different things.
Playing with your dolls.
And Aiden starts playing with your dolls, too, and making them do
weird.
And a
very creepy thing.
Weird shit.
Like, twisting their heads backwards.
Exactly, because they didn't get invited to the tea party. Because
she didn't get invited to the tea party.
Then, if, like, Panda, you're stupid, and you walk into the bathroom.
I'm not stupid. I knew something was going to happen in the bathroom because...
And you walked in there anyway.
Because I have to see it.
Yeah, I didn't. I did not go anywhere near the bathroom.
So for those who don't know, if you've never ventured into the bathroom...
Weird shit happens in the bathroom when you're playing survival scary games.
When you're little Jody and you decide to go to the bathroom...
Don't look in the mirror.
Well, no, you can look in the mirror.
No, don't look in the mirror.
You can look in the mirror. You just, if you, you know, choose not to do it, don't make the motion that makes you make a funny face, because you might make a silly face, but then you're not going to see a very silly face a couple seconds afterwards. And I literally, like, jumped and dropped my controller.
And you know what you
like
do?
A six-year-old bitch.
Yep. And you know what is the better way to do that? Don't go in the bathroom.
But
play a scary game. Reflective services are bad, okay?
Yeah. So, I mean, and if that's not enough to make that situation eerie...
No.
Your mommy sends you to the garage.
Okay, all right. So, first of all, parents, don't send your kids into a dark fucking garage...
When you know weird shit happens to them on the regular.
Weird shit happens to them on the regular.
Make her wear a flashlight around her fucking neck.
Number one. And number two, fucking turn the light on for your kid.
Or, you know, you can take 3 seconds from staring out the fucking window because you weren't doing anything in the kitchen in the first place and go with her.
Okay? You know weird shit happens to her. Don't leave her the fuck alone in a dark place. Especially when you have creepy fucking mannequins in your
house. I know. I want to know why the mom had a creepy creepy fucking mannequin in the garage.
Why do you have creepy fucking mannequins in the garage?
And it wasn't even like that eerily smiling one. Like, no. It was like so cold. This is not an uncomfortable face.
Okay, like, I start walking in the garage and I
I see the face of my who that?
And I tried to turn Jody around, like, nope, not going in there. Ground me, Mom. I'm not going in the garage. Fuck you. And Jody's like, no, I've got to go get the thing Mom wants, the oil. And I was like, no, we don't.
You know, Mom, we don't need pasta that bad.
I'm not hungry for fries.
You know? Like, I don't need fried potatoes.
Why don't we just make biscuits with butter?
You know,
butter?
We could order pizza. It won't get here because of the
Domino's
snow.
Domino's will be here. They will drive in anything.
But anyway.
Okay? But you go into the garage because you're dumb.
Because you love your mother and you want to do what she's asking.
No, because Quanta gives you no other choice.
That too. That too.
Because if I could have not gone in the garage.
She would have not.
I would not have gone in the garage.
It's actually really funny. As I was playing that, because I was playing it in our big Esh living room so that Esh mom could watch. Because she was a big fan of Heavy Rain when I played through that. And she was in her room, which is across from the living room. And she could, I keep the volume loud enough so she can hear it.
And you know, people down the block.
Yeah. And, I mean, I tend to get, you know, really into my game. So, like, I dim my lighting. I, like,
prepare my room. 'Cause you're dumb.
And, like, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have to go in there. And I'm getting, and I, 29-year-old Panalicious, is like, you know what? I think I need to put the light on. And I put the light on.
And
you
know, it doesn't help.
No, it did. It did. But the funny thing was, as I turn it on, Esh Mom is like, is the light on in the living room? And I'm like, yeah, Mom. Why?
No reason.
I just couldn't see. And she's like, that music doesn't sound very happy. I'm like, well, it's not. She's like, you're scared. You are. I'm like, Mom, I'm like 7 years old right now. And I had to go to the fucking garage, which the lights don't work because I tried that shit. I was like, let me see if this light switch works. Nope, of course not. Oh, look, there's like an overcast of red in here. Yeah, I feel safe. And I walk through, I find the olive oil, and I don't even look around the car. Because I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go back the way that I came. I'm going to go around. Oh, look, I see a dinosaur shadow, that creepy mannequin. I'm just going to keep going. I'm not
now,
even looking.
Panda's experience was actually different than my experience. And I'm going to imagine that the experiences were different because I didn't look in the bathroom upstairs. Because when I went into the basement, first I saw the mannequin. I was like, damn it. The light flickers, and then I see the oil. I get the oil. I tried to come back around the car, and it wouldn't let me, so I had to go back the way I came. As I got close to the steps, I actually got stopped because an entity came to me at the face with, like, red teeth and shit, and I was like, what the fuck? And I literally dropped my controller, at which point Mom came in, and she's like, oh, there you are. And walked me back to the kitchen. I was like, see, oh, bitch, where were you like 30 seconds ago?
I didn't even have to bother my mom. I brought it and I put it on the table and she was like, thanks, Jody.
Yeah,
gave me a pat on the head and I got to go play outside in the snow.
Oh, I played outside in the snow afterwards. Okay, but I was like, the fuck was that shit? All right, so let's continue on the path. So Jody's mom cares about her more than Jody's dad.
Obviously.
Some weird shit happens, and dad's like, fuck this kid. I don't want any of this. And you're like, how can any parent be like that with their kid? I don't even care if, like, weird shit's going on.
I felt so bad because Aiden is the one listening to all these horrible conversations, and, like, Jody's got, like, no fucking clue.
Yeah, like, none. Like, and Aiden being an entity typically hovers above or outside of a situation and, you know, is limited in the amount of
space he can have between him and Jody.
And you learn later on why this is, and then it makes, like, complete fucking sense because in the beginning it doesn't really make sense. So Jody ends up in the custody of researchers on the base. Her parents leave her, and Jody, in essence, from, I would say, about 6 or 8... until her early
20s
is basically a ward of
the paranormal department of the DHA.
Yes, which is a branch of the CIA. Yes, which is a branch of, or a subsidiary, however you want to say it.
A subsidiary.
Of the CIA. Okay, so because they're very, very interested in Jody's paranormal abilities.
And they want to understand more about entities and what their purpose is in our
and
reality.
What becomes known as the infraworld, which is the space where entities spawn from. The government wants to find a way to use
it as a weapon.
Surprise! Jody's not made aware of this until, like, a mission in where she is actually infiltrating an area on an assassination mission, carries out the assassination, learns that the government was maybe less than forthcoming about what the mission was really and truly about.
Yep.
Surprise.
Oh my god, the government lied?
No.
What? No way. They totally meant to give you that post-it note with that vital piece of information.
They were gonna tell you, but it was Taco Tuesday.
It was in Ryan's pants. You should have gone in Ryan's
pants. You should have gone in Ryan's pants, not just taken them off.
Oh.
I went there. So Ryan is this dude. Turns out he's kind of a
douche the first few times you meet him. What a cock dick.
What a cock dick. Okay.
What a cock dick.
Ryan is one of the trainers who works with Jody early on.
In her montage.
Yes. In her montage of becoming a badass CIA agent. You know, hand-to-hand combat and things like that.
You know, all that stuff that you need to be a weapon of the CIA.
Right. Ryan starts having some feels for Jody, and Jody's
so
like,
many
"I want to be like a real girl and like stuff.
I want you to touch me.
I want to feel dirty.
Oh yeah."
And so she tries, and there's like a little bit of failure, and Aiden's all
upset. There's so much failure.
All right,
well, step back. There can be a lot of failure. Because, you know, during that whole particular interlude where you're trying to, like, seduce Ryan.
At your place.
At your nice apartment.
Which is really cute, by the way. You know, the CIA, when they put you up.
You know, and, like, your apartment's kind of dirty. So, I mean, you have only so much time to clean.
Yeah, what food did you make?
I ordered pizza.
Oh, you bitch. I made the Asian stir fry.
I was like, you know what? Because this is what happened. I was like, oh, I should, why do I have all my dirt? Let me pick up my dirty clothes off the floor. I do that. I'm like, let me go to the shower and wash my stanky ass.
Wait, okay. You picked up dirty clothes and then washed yourself?
Yep, and then
no,
wash
you have to start the food first, pick up, then wash yourself.
Because then your hands are dirty, and then you're touching meats and stuff with your dirty pistol
hands. You start the food and get it going. You clean up, you wash your stanky ass, you come back and you finish the food.
And that's why I go out. And I don't entertain
him. Well, let me tell you, Ryan really appreciates it when you make him the Asian stir fry because he spent time in Asia and really likes it and you have a good conversation.
Well, you know what? I wasn't trying to talk to the man.
Well, you know, you're trying to bet him.
Let's go to the happy place. But anyway.
Like, fuck this pizza. Wait, no. Fuck me.
But, you know, if you play it, you can play it however you want. And if you do things well, you know, obviously you'll get better endings. But something I was trying to talk about earlier in the show is that there is the ability to play this game with another person. So you got one person who strictly plays Jody and one person who strictly plays Aiden.
And I would highly suggest, Panda, that on your next playthrough that you maybe have someone who...
Like you?
Is knowledgeable
like
about
you?
What's going to happen.
Like you?
Maybe be your second and
like
play
you?
Aiden. I don't know. Maybe like me. I mean, it could happen. I could be talked into it.
I didn't want to be like you. Anyway, because, I mean, I feel like there's an element that, you know, playing by yourself, you don't fully get. Like, I mean, is it enriching? Is it engaging? Absolutely. But, I mean, if you have somebody else playing, you don't rightly know what things they are going to interact with.
Correct, because they could totally fuck you.
They could totally be an asshole. See, I wouldn't want you to play because then you'd be an asshole.
I wouldn't be an asshole. I would actually have your back as Aiden.
Because, you know...
I would have helped you close that rift the first time.
Yeah. Oh, let me talk about that since we're here. So, when I found out right off the bat that it's pretty much couch local, I don't believe there's an online element to the...
Right now, there's not.
This co-op ability. But I had Hot Mess, who happened to be laying in the living room, and I'm like, hey... Wake up.
That should have been clue number one. Yep. If you gotta wake him up to play,
hey,
it's not gonna work.
Hey, you random person, wake up.
Hey.
Here's this controller. You need to do these things to help me close this thing. And he was like, yeah, okay. And of course, he fucks up a lot. I end up running out of this pivotal point of the story.
Yep.
And I'm like, fuck. Now I have to go and redo it. And of course, obviously you can go back in the chapters and do that. So it wasn't that big of a deal. And I could just do it by myself. But anyway.
But Panda, let me go back for just a second, guys.
Sure.
Panda was pissed.
Oh, I was so pissed.
She comes to me.
I was so mad.
She comes to me the next day, so mad.
She's like, do you want to happen? Hot mess, fucking fuck me in the riff. Let me tell you something. Have you gotten to the riff yet? And I was like, no. Nope.
Have you gotten to the condenser? Have you?
And I was like, well, no. What's the condenser? And she's like, all right, no. So after the party, you go to the condenser, right? And I'm going to tell you right now, fucking do whatever you got to do, but close the rift. Because you won't be happy with what happens when if you don't close the rift.
Yeah.
And I was like,
fuck that noise.
Okay.
Fuck that bitch.
Okay. And I was like, no, seriously. Close
for real.
The rift. Because I had hot mess with me, and he fucked it up as Aiden, and I had to do what I needed to do because I had to get these people out. And guess what? Didn't close it. Bad choice.
Bad shit happens. Anyway, like, so let's finish going through the linear.
Yeah. All right, so you finish, and I'll correct you wherever you're wrong, and then I will fucking spoil it like a beast. Go ahead.
So wait, where did we left off with?
So we left off with Ryan. You trying to do him?
Yeah.
And then
so and
you do an assassination mission, and you find out
I messed up so much, like trying to bed him, like all my negative thoughts about men and what men's roles in my life so far have been kind of kept me from opening the muffin factory, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, but you fix that in the next mission.
Yeah. So, apparently I get sent in as the only person.
You are an assassination squad of one. But really two, because you have Aiden. That's why the government wants us.
Yes, that's why we're so special. We're a shiny Pikachu with special abilities. But anyway, so we get sent into Africa-ish, like an African Somalian area-ish.
Correct. Somalia. Yeah.
Somalia. And you are trying to get to this dude because the government says he's bad. So you're like, okay, government says he's bad. He's got to be bad, right? And you...
Yeah, Ryan gives you the mission. Go in...
Kill this dude. Assassinate this guy.
This general.
Right here.
And then get out. This guy.
He's bad.
Kill him. Get out.
Get out. Right? Nothing else. And you are traveling by yourself. Yep. You have to distract people. Kill them silently.
And silent killing.
Yep. And sometimes you gotta let Aiden come in here and do the silent red death choke.
Yes, I do enjoy.
I love a good death choke,
but I really appreciate the taking over a pivotal body to do the assassination.
So that your hands for some time
and then cap myself off at the end. Yeah, that's a nice.
So instead of my hands being blood red, they're only kind of orange because the blood's dried on my.
By the time you get over there,
but anyway, during this particular mission, she finds a small boy,
and Aiden helps heal him
because, you know, he's got that ability. And there's several abilities that Aiden has that we haven't even discussed yet. But you do that, and this kid who can't really understand you don't really understand
each other.
There's a silent bond.
But you do because he ends up being your guide to get you to the building that you need to get to kill this dude.
And right before, like, the big, you know, reveal of stuff going on at this particular mosque, you know, you send him away because you really can't, you don't feel right bringing a kid into something so dangerous. You know, so he goes
off. And it's not a mosque. It's just a building.
Oh, I thought it was like a lighthousey building thing.
That's
like
a tower, but they're not in the tower. They're in the building next to it.
All right. So, but anyway, so you show up there. You do your Aiden stuff. You pretty much, you know, cap everybody. And I do mean everybody.
Yeah.
And after you do that, the little boy shows up. And it turns out that the dude that Aiden possesses to, you know, do all the killings. That's
who gets killed.
Who gets killed at the very end because, you know, that's kind of Aiden's M.O., that dude happened to be that little boy's daddy.
Yep, so he starts crying, he tries to shoot you.
He tries to shoot you, but Aiden does his little shieldy thing, which I'll talk about his abilities in a second.
And you get all, like, broke down, and then...
You kind of feel bad, and you kind of have the choice to cap the kid.
No.
You don't?
No.
You can just walk out?
You have the choice to go over and try to console, and he, like, pushes you off.
Oh, okay. So, you don't kill him.
I would kill him! You were an asshole, and you would not. You fucking liar.
No,
when you did this mission, I was with you, and you're like, please don't make me kill this kid. I don't want to kill this kid.
Hey.
And I was like, then just walk out. And you're like, I'm walking out because I'm not killing this kid.
Well, if it was one of the options, I would eventually have to do it because I'm a completionist. But anyway.
You are a douche nozzle.
Anyway. So after that,
As you are flying back from the mission, and you're feeling kind of good because, you know, you did the mission. You completed everything.
You weren't meant feeling to do. Good. You were not feeling good.
You were feeling okay.
No, you weren't. You got shot on the plane. You were distant with Ryan. You were not happy. You were looking for shit to do. You were not happy. It was
Well, it wasn't a party plane.
No, and you were not happy.
But I'm sure I was kind of like, dude, I just killed some kid's, you know, some kid's dad.
You were upset as shit.
But if you really think about it, Jody killed a lot of people's
dads. She does, but she was really upset about that because she really liked that kid. Because,
I mean, he did help her. But you turn on the news to find out that the dude that you executed wasn't like a rebel. He was the democratically elected
president
who was going to come in and, like, fix
some shit that wasn't going to really work out well for the U.S. So we decided that we were going to kill him. And so you confront Ryan, and Ryan's like, those were orders. Just fucking deal with it, Jody. And so you start getting pissed. Aiden starts rocking the fucking plane, and you jump out of it.
Yeah, you jump
out. And that's basically how you break up with Ryan.
And that... Yeah, well, you break out of the CIA. At that point, you kind of go, you know,
rogue. Fuck the CIA. What's most important is at that point in time, you break up with Ryan. Because he's a fucking douche.
It's like, you made me kill people, you liar.
You lied.
We're through.
And you're
Megan,
really
Megan, your coat.
Because you just... Megan! Megan, it's your coat, though.
Nah. It's totally one of those.
You jump out the fucking plane in the middle of the air.
Yep. And
well, it's a helicopter, but still, you jump out of it. And you land on the ground. You call fucking William Dafoe.
Yep. And you're just like, you tell them
to leave me alone or I'm going to fucking kill them.
And she goes rogue. And when you go rogue from the CIA, well, then you also kind of commit, treason.
Well, they're saying treason so they can get all the military support that they need to try and capture her.
Yeah.
Because they need her back because Jody's the only thing that can easily talk to and manage the infra-world.
And I mean, she's kind of this massive weapon of destruction.
Yeah, that too.
Like, you know, we kind of need that back. So anyway, she kind of goes on the run. She's homeless for a while.
Yep.
You know,
meets up with some homeless people who are, by the way, I think the most awesome people in the entire game.
The
most honest and fucking adorable people in this whole
game. There should be a sitcom of these four homeless people.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
Moving on.
So you know, all shades of gray, Panda.
Yes, it is. So you go through your homeless state. After you get through,
Get to the good shit, because I want to
some horrible stuff
so
in the homeless, in the, you know, your homeless segment. You kind of get beaten. The CIA tries to come after you. You get away. And then you end up, like...
Oh, wait, you missed the whole point where you helped Tuesday have her baby.
Yeah, you do. And then the house gets set on fire by some assholes who are trying to rob Stan from, you know, that money that you got to get food. But you teach them a lesson because you kicked their fucking asses. And then they're like, oh, those homeless people went to that abandoned house. We're going to set that shit on fire. Mind you, you can possibly not save everybody. But, you know, I did.
I saved everybody. You end up in the hospital. You have to break out of the hospital because they're coming to get you.
And
some shit jumps off.
And you decide to wander. And you end up wandering somewhere like in Arizona.
Yeah.
You're out in the desert and you meet some really hot Indian boys.
And by Indian, she means...
Danae.
Feathers, not dots.
Yes. Danae is, because they don't like to go by, you know, they don't like to go by Navajo, because that's what the white man call them.
And fuck the white man.
So they call themselves Danae.
I'm paraphrasing the Indian people.
But anyway, so you meet a family who live on this ranch, and, you know, at first...
They got a grandmother who doesn't speak.
At all.
So she's like that wise, locked up wisdom.
And then you've got Paul.
I love Paul. Paul's the man.
But...
He's a sweetheart.
You show
but there's some fucked up shit happening.
Stuff's going down on this ranch. And
that's supernatural.
At first, you're just looking for a place to stay, and, you know, the hottest of the Indian brothers is like, no, you have to leave. And the father's like, we can extend one night. So you stay there, and they're like, you have to stay in your room. Don't leave no matter what you hear.
Yeah, this rattling starts happening, and everybody looks at each other at the table, and they get up, and they start barring the windows and shit, and like, get in your room, and don't come out, no matter what. Stay in your room.
And of course you don't, because you're Jody.
Well, you do the first night, and then...
No, I got up.
You're a dick. They said stay in the room.
I got the fuck up and said, what is that? And I walked out, And I knocked
Panda,
on...
Panda, you're acting like white people in horror movies. Let's go towards the danger and find out what's going on.
I put on my pants because I'm like, I'm not running around in my panties. And I knocked on both of their doors. And it's funny because when you knock on each of the doors, you see the brothers. And one's sitting there and he's praying. And the hot one doesn't have a shirt on. So I'm like, hey. And then you can't get into either of their rooms. And then I walked back out into the kitchen. And then I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'm just going to take a peek outside real quick. And I go to the door and I open the door and there's a jump scare there. And I freaked out, and the two Indian boys magically appear to reshut the door, and the hot one's like, we told you not to come out of your room. And I'm like, but I heard voices. And they're like, go to your room, and you go to your room, and then the next morning, you kind of live on the farm for a little bit, you kind of get used to life, they kind of like having a girl around who's not, you know, their grandma.
You know, and like, not 60.
And not 60, so they're like, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
You can talk to horses, hey. You know, and like, there's this small bonding stuff going on.
And it's not that you can talk to horses, it's just that Aiden takes over the horse.
But anyway, long story short, they're being plagued by entities that are also kind of fusing with Navajo spirits, sort of.
So, all right, so let me correct what Panda's going with this. So, there's a curse that is upon the land because some of the family members' ancestors performed a ritual and accidentally opened a rift and let a entity through.
A very powerful, angry one.
An angry entity. The entity then took its vengeance on the white man that was plaguing the area, but then also started to
eat the Indians.
Correct, because it wanted blood. You see through a vision if you go into this hut out in the middle of the desert.
Yep, a sweat lodge.
If you go into the sweat lodge, you have a vision and you actually go to one other spot and you see the ritual performed.
Which you should do.
You have to do the ritual.
And hopefully you do it right.
Okay. You do it right and you basically are able to banish this entity.
You get back to suck him back into the
infra world.
Yep, you get to suck him back in.
At the cost of the grandmother.
Yes,
depending.
Yes, depending.
Or it can be at the cost of the grandmother and Paul.
Which sucks, by the way.
It does, in fact, suck because Paul is awesome and the burial is, like, so sad.
It is.
And then if you crawl up the rocks, you get to see another vision in the cave, and a cave drawing of what appears to be a person.
Yep.
With a spirit attached to it.
So it was like prophesied that you would come to the land.
That you would come to the land and be the one to cure
the
land. You'd
be the savior.
Of the thing. And then you get asked whether or not you're going to stay, and you go, because, you know, shit's got to happen. But
before you go, you have the option. Now, this is...
Now, hold on. No, I said I'm spoiling shit, so
okay,
you have to wait.
All right.
Because here's what's important about this. Both the homeless mission and this mission here. Because there's a choice that you have to make that comes up later, and one of your options is going to be to go back and chill with the homeless people, or to go back and chill with... And you get to pick the brother.
Ooh.
Yeah. The dudes. Depending upon who you talk with on the ranch. You get to pick the brother, or you always just go back for the older, hotter brother on the ranch, or another choice, which would be Ryan.
Right.
Ooh. Okay.
All right.
And things happen based off of things that you do there. So you absolutely want to make sure that you talk with both the brothers.
Yep.
You know, and chat them up. But don't be like a whore and be like slutty.
Just, don't be like me, is what she's saying.
I wasn't
I was like, hey, bros, what's up? And it's really funny because the younger brother...
You're not supposed to come between brothers, bro.
Well, because you can kind of tell right off the bat that the younger brother is right off the bat interested in you.
Yes.
And is willing to show
it's
you
like,
that
he's
interested. Like,
hey, titties, what's up?
You know, and the older brother's kind of like, no. You know, so it's like, ooh. He's
like,
rejecting me. I love it.
I like people that don't want me.
Yeah.
Let me go and make you want me.
And by the end of it, you know, he's all like, oh, I'm going to go do this thing. So the younger brother left. And I'm like, yo, older brother, give me this sweet, sweet kiss before I go. Give it to, I gotta go. I got to go. But let me get that first. And I got
such
that first.
A whole bag.
And then I went off on the motorcycle they gave me. And I was like, bye, bitches. Off to my next thing. And then I was like, hey, Ryan, what's up? I'm a Rolling Stone. You can't hug a Rolling Stone because it will squash you.
Yeah, no. Actually, Pebbles, you need to just back up. So anyway.
So from there, I honestly feel from Navajo on is where a lot of the things that you do are really going to define how the ending of your story.
No, the whole thing. thing. Every choice that you make up to that point, because depending upon who you save or don't save with the homeless thing, they may or may not be available for you to go and hang out with at the end of the game. Whether or not you talk with both the brothers or not, you know, depends on, you know, who you're going to be able to see when you go back to the ranch later. Like, if you're a dumbass like me and you don't go in the house first to, you know, maybe heal Paul, Paul dies.
Hey, I didn't save Paul because I'm the one who told you that you can do that.
That's what I'm saying. And I was a dumbass because I didn't save Paul because it didn't even dawn on me. Dumbass, go in the house and heal Paul before you talk to Nana about the fucking ritual.
About shit that has to happen. Anyway, so after Navajo, after you go to the hot ranch with the Indian boys, I'm trying to remember the order now.
So after Navajo, you find out about your parents, yes, not being your parents.
You find out about your real mom.
Yes.
And you find out that your mom's a supernatural. And actually, both of your parents were gifted.
Yep.
And that she's...
Your biological mom is still alive.
Your father is not.
Your father is not. And your mom is being held
at this maximum DHA facility.
For the clinically insane.
Yep.
So you're like, well, let me go and get her.
I gotta go and talk to her. And your black companion, your magical Negro, is like, you know what?
He calls you princess the whole game, which is adorable.
Jody, this might not be really good. You might not want to do this. And you're like, I kind of have to. I have to know where I am. And him being a champ is like, you don't think I'm going to let you go by yourself, do you? And you're like, of course not, magical Negro. You have to be by my side for everything. But anyway, you bust into the medical facility. You break all the cameras, which I thought would help us, you know, buy time. But
evidently,
really,
we missed a camera. It didn't.
It really didn't.
Nope.
But you get into your room and you see your mother, and she's pretty much a vegetable.
Aiden is able to help you get into her subconscious,
so
and
that
you get
you're
to have
able
like a
to
meeting
and talk to her and be reunited with her
and find out that she's in a clinically induced coma that she can't get out of,
that the government put her in, the DHA put her
so
in.
So then you're presented with a choice.
You have the choice to kill your mother because
by
she can't
stopping
come out of
her
it,
heart
by stop or leaving her
forever a vegetable connected to.
Yes.
The thing. And this is one of the points where I really wish that I didn't have the rumble pack on in the controller, because if you try to leave your mom, every time you go for the door, Aiden gets fucking pissed.
That you're leaving her like
that. That you're leaving her, and tries to stop you and fucking shakes the shit
out of, like,
out of
no.
the controller. Like, no, go back.
Now, mind you, I'm going to preface this right now. The minute that after she told me that she can't get out of it herself, I'm like, I'm going to have to kill my mom. And
Panda looks at me and she goes, are you shitting me? I have to kill my mom.
I have to kill my mom. After I finally found out that my fake parents were my fake parents, I found my real mom. You know, I'll never have the relationship I want with my mom.
And I was like, Disney moment.
I'm like, oh. And I was like, you know what? I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm like, she's stuck there and I can't leave her like that. So I kill my mom. And then we get caught.
Yep. Immediately. So then you wake up, one of the foes like, hey, I've missed you.
Hey, champ.
How you doing? Hey, come out and look at this big black sun that we built to the infraworld that we're controlling somehow below the headquarters of the CIA. It's pretty dope.
Which is all like, what?
Yeah. It's like, well, so here's this thing. As it turns out, some people who are not white have also tried to figure out a way.
Yeah.
Because that's what I feel like. I was like, oh, by the way, there's some non-white people that now have some technology that we don't think that they should have. So we need you to help us, like, knock that out. And if you do,
it's
we'll
not
wipe
the Somalians. And it's not the Indians.
No, now it's the Asians. So here's what's
going to
happen.
Everyone just be going to the infoworld.
All right. They found a rift. They're going to try to open it. They don't know what they're doing. It could
and
be
we
really,
need you
really
to
bad.
Go in there.
So we're
going to
send you in with a small team. By a small team, I mean the two people that helped train you along with Ryan. And
because they're the only
Ryan.
Other people that you've ever encountered, really.
Right. And Ryan, you're all going to go in and, like, take this shit out. And then boom, boom, boom. Everything's going to be forgiven. You can just disappear
you say boom,
into,
boom,
like.
Boom, everybody's going to say wayo.
Okay. And then you can just disappear into the night. Well, little problem with that.
You get caught.
It's just you and Ryan getting caught, by the way. And so Ryan's now being
by the
tortured.
Way, can I talk to you for a second? Because one of the guys on your team is totally an Asian dude. Why didn't the Asian dude go? Like, when I saw him, I'm like, he's fucking Asian. He could put on this suit. He probably knew what they were saying. Would have been so much easier if the Asian dude, BD Wong, fucking went with me. But no, it had to be Ryan at this point.
I know, we were so Caucasian. Infiltrate all these Koreans.
Like, let me just walk by these Asians because they can't see that, right, you know,
that I'm not Asian.
That I'm not Asian.
So you guys get busted. Obviously.
You get busted hardcore.
And so Ryan's being tortured and they're like slicing on his arm and stuff. Be like, answer the question and we'll stop torturing.
Oh, no, I didn't even flinch. I didn't flinch a second.
I told you what was going to happen. So
I
knew it.
So I was like, you know what? Go ahead. Because at this point, I'm still mad at Ryan.
So and I was mad at Ryan too because he asked you, you know, whether you're still in love with him or not. And I was like, no, fuck you. Eat a dick.
He was like, are you mad? And I'm like, you better keep your distance because Iden will fuck you.
Yeah, no, I took the aggressive thing and, like, shook the room, and I was like, yeah, neither one of us forgives easily. And then, so Ryan gets tortured, and you basically have three questions at your ass, and on the third one, if you're still staying quiet, they basically take out a big Bowie knife,
and they take his eye out.
And twist his eyeball out.
That's right, he's still pretty with only one eye.
Then they're like, we're gonna fuck with you, and oh, by the way, they have this, like, containment field, so it actually splits Iden off of you. So, that was, like, the first heart palpitation that I have in the game, because I'm like, wow, I can't really rely on Iden.
That wasn't the first one that scared me. What scared me was when you are, using Iden to get to the submarine, when you first go down, and that other dude, the Asian guy, shoots the dude that Aiden's in. And you realize that if he's possessing, if Iden is inside someone and that person gets hurt, she feels it. That scared me. I'm like, oh, shit. Because we've never encountered that in the game up until this point.
Well, because Aiden's been offing everybody himself. So, you know, it's more like he's always prepared for it, that it's coming. Whereas, of course, like, it's out of no place, so it wasn't. So, anyway, so you go through and you go down, finally get reunited with Iden, and you're like, hey, let's close this fucking...
Close this riff underwater.
And you close the riff underwater, being chased by, like, a water thing, but you close it, you pop back up, and, like, you and Ryan are sitting on the ice.
And you're in your submarine, and the submarine starts to fail, and you're like, we're close enough to the surface
that we can
go.
We're gonna swim for it, so you make it up to the
top. We're gonna bust into this ice-cold water and totally fuck our bodies up, but we're gonna live.
It's cool. So you do, and then you're sitting on the shore of this ice.
And you're freezing to death because you were in water.
And, like, Ryan asks you again if you're in love with him, and you're like, no.
I was like, yes.
Yeah, no, I was like,
he was like, I kind of love you. And I'm like, okay, if we were in a better place, maybe I would be more flattered.
No, I stuck to my guns because I was like, fuck you.
Nah, I was like, I might die. I love you.
And so he was like, so do you love me? And I was like, I did, but I don't anymore. Eat a dick. And he's like, well, that's just great. And then rescue comes. Okay, so you got rescued.
So
and you're like,
me,
hey.
Mine was more touching because he was like, I love you. Do you still love me? And I'm like, yes. And he's like, see you on the other side. And you curl into each other.
Yep. Nope. Fuck that noise.
Nice. And then as soon as we do that, they roll up. I'm like, you guys were there the whole fucking time, you fucking Asian bastard. You just wanted to see us, you know, get emotional.
Yeah,
I ain't dumb.
I didn't do that at all. So you're like, all right, so this is it, right? I did my thing, so we're good. I get to go. You go back to the CIA headquarters, and, like, McGrath is talking some shit, and he's a douche nozzle, too. And you're like, all right, so I'm about to be free and shit, and you get a check from Willem Dafoe for, like, $500,000. You're like, life's gonna be good, and you're gonna disappear. Well, not exactly. Because Willem Dafoe is like, hey, by the way, you know my wife and my kid that died? I've been working on some technology, and check this out. And, like, he opens up the secret room, which I knew was going to be a bad thing, because when you first wake up the first time, when you see Willem Dafoe again, you can see that there's a handprint scanner, and you can't use it to open up the secret room. So I'm like, there's going to be a bad thing in that room. I know it's going to be a bad
thing
in that
room. Willem Dafoe.
And he's great. He's a good guy for most of this fucking game up until this point. He throws on this switch of this machine that he's built, and you can see that he's captured the souls of his wife and his daughter. They're in pain. You interpret, and they're like, they want to die. Let them go. And he's like, no, they don't. You're dead. And you're stupid. I'm gonna fix it because I'm gonna bring the worlds together. And so you get knocked the fuck out. You wake up, and it turns out that he's dropping the containment field. So he's about to unleash the whole fucking infra world on everyone because he goes ape shit. So now you have to go and fucking save him. But they decide that they're gonna put your ass to sleep like your mom. McGrath steps in because he's like, no, I want this shit to happen. And so you now have to get Iden, who's less powerful because you're getting drugged into a coma, to go and get Ryan and, what do you call him? Your super happy Negro? Come and...
The magical Negro.
Sorry, the magical Negro. To come through the building and find you, release you, so you can then take on the infra world that Willem Dafoe is now letting loose on the CIA headquarters, and so you have to charge towards this black sun. You, Ryan, and Kadeem Hardison. Now, because Panda hasn't played this part, so now I get to talk uninterrupted.
Yes, you do.
So, as you're going towards the Black Sun, you have a couple of things that are going to happen. Kadeem Hardison is going to get attacked by a fucking entity, even though he has on a shield. And you're going to do your damnedest to fucking heal him. And you only have one shot at it. And even though you do your damnedest, he still doesn't get to come along with you.
Okay.
So then it's just you and Ryan going towards the Black Sun. And there's, like, fucking entities flying everywhere and all that kind of shit. The two of you get separated. You bounce through a couple of memories from the past. It's weird as shit. When you come out of the memories, you're right near fucking William Dafoe. And you then have to try to fucking reason with him to help you shut this shit down so that the world doesn't get tossed into fucking chaos. Or you can tell him everything that's happened is his fucking fault and he's a douchebag and you hate him.
Okay.
Depending upon... Well, no, let me not say that. Well, I'll say it like this. Either which way you go, William Dafoe is gonna shoot himself in the fucking head.
Okay.
And he joins his wife and his kid. And he's like, whatever happens, you've got to fix my mistake, Jody. Only you can do it. And then they all disappear as a fucking family unit. So you're like, all right, so you really weren't like a complete douchebag. You
so he couldn't have just, oh, I don't know, not made the Black Sun and just took a bullet to the face?
You know.
I mean, like, he could have done that and been reunited that way.
I mean, because his whole thing was he just really, 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 really missed his wife.
I mean, he could have just fallen off a bridge.
But anyway.
Ate some ricin.
Here we go. And now.
Snap his face in.
You've got to go and take out this Black Sun.
Yep.
So Ryan is able to meet up with you again somehow through the miracle of shit.
Because and you guys are in love or not in love.
Well, we weren't in love.
Yours were not in love. Mine were.
Ryan still loved me, but I wasn't in love with him.
Unrequited love at the Black Sun. Right.
And so both of you have on your like little belts that create your shield, but yours breaks when you're like fighting back to get.
Does he give you his belt?
Yes, he does.
Of course
and
he
does.
And
he's like, just make it back, Jody, because I love you. And so you give him one more shot of reaffirming your love for Ryan. And I was like, I'll do my best. I was like, no, fuck you. I'm not in love with you, you bastard. So you start trudging again for the Black Sun. And at this point, Jody now starts regressing in age as she heads towards the Black Sun. So you go back through and you relive a short memory of Jody as like the kid being captive and Jody at 6 and Jody at 4 and all this kind of shit. And then you get right up against it and they're like freaking sand spirits that come up and they're trying to drag you down and you have to fight your way through them because if you fall into the sand you get stuck in a fucking memory I think or some shit like that. I made it through and I got to the Black Sun. When you get to the Black Sun there is a moment of recognition that happens. And in the moment of recognition that happens you learn that your mom had twins. You learn that Aiden is actually the twin, that baby that was declared stillborn, and it wasn't you, and they lied. Aiden choked on the umbilical cord as he was being birthed and died, which is why he was tied to you.
Oh.
And could never leave you. Because the two of you were always, always, always together and joined because you were one soul split. But Aiden never left you because you guys never wanted to be apart. So he was always attached to you. So you have a vision where you have a moment where you actually get to see Aiden in a somewhat corporeal form.
Ooh.
And an explanation of what's going on. And so there's like this moment of clarity where she's like, oh my God, Aiden. And you like see the figure of a man and you're talking to him and you understand some shit. And he raises his hand up and then like he blows away because you now have a decision to fucking make.
Right?
All right. So.
Decision time.
You get to the place where you're sealing the rift. And so you must now make a choice. So you're literally standing on a path. You have light to the left of you and darkness to the right of you.
Okay.
And so you have your two indicator dots where, all right, it's time to make a decision. So, of course, me, I like to look at the light. So you turn to the light and you are presented with choosing to go beyond. And depending upon who fucking died, you're gonna see the Indian grandma and Paul, if they died.
Right, which in my case they will.
And your mom and Aiden. Aiden. If you killed your mom.
Right.
On the left. And if you choose the darkness on the right, you're gonna see Ryan. And anybody else that you saved, So possibly Super Magical Negro.
Right. Super Magical Negro.
And so you must decide which path you're going to go. If you're going to choose Beyond or if you're going to choose Life. Depending upon the choice that you make, it gives you your epilogue. If you choose Life, you get the option to return to the world of the living and go back to the Navajo boys. Go back to the homeless people.
Who are now not homeless.
Go back to Ryan.
Maybe.
Or fucking...
the black
duke
guy?
Duke the shit out. No. Or duke the shit out in Alaska. Trying to put your brain back together. If you choose Beyond, well, you go Beyond. Beyond. And you get to see a vision of what is happening to the people that you leave behind going beyond that are not dead. I chose to go Beyond.
Because her life was just hard.
And
I think that's where Frodo went too.
The epilogue for Beyond is very interesting. What I will say is I'm definitely disappointed in some of the decisions that I made because I feel like my Beyond could have been so much better.
Better? You know what? My Beyond could have been way better than
this. My Beyond could have been totally better than this if I just made some better life choices. But if you choose Life, and depending upon who you choose to, well, have life with, there are some very interesting developments that happen over there as well. So in my Beyond, I did not kill my mom, Nora, so I had to watch her stuck to a EKG machine.
For the rest of her natural life.
For the rest of her natural life. I did not tell Ryan that I loved him at any point in time after
he fucked
me over.
So he's got this weird shrine to me.
So he has like a shrine of photos pictures. Of shit in me on his desk and just spends most of his days in his apartment crying.
Because
really
he's
sadly.
Because he's sad.
With an eye patch on.
Because his eye's gone.
I did save, I was able to do all of the heal points that I needed to do, so I was able to save Super Magical Negro Kadeem Hardison, and I was able to give him a message that I was still with him, and he was all happy that that happened. And then I got to, like, experience what the life of Beyond was, and go back to, Tuesday and Stan and the rest of the homeless clan, and get to
and find out that, one, they're not homeless.
One, yes, and not only watch over, but also interact with Zoe, the girl,
the baby,
who's no longer a baby, who also has special abilities, and so I end up being the Aiden to her, because she's actually going to end up in a vision that you see in the future, being the warrior that takes on the entities, because somebody figures out how to tap into the infra-world, and evidently in the future they fuck it up for the rest of us. And it becomes a post-apocalyptic world.
Now, it could happen
Yay!
Like that. Or it could happen something like this. Or something like that. Or maybe even this.
And those other somethings are, guess what? No matter which way you turn, somebody fucks up the intra world and you end up having to deal with it. If you choose life, and you go back with the homeless people, Jody physically trains Zoe, and in the vision at the end of the post-apocalyptic world, you see Jody and Zoe standing together with fields on, ready to tackle the entities.
So, either you're there in form or not
so
in
even,
form.
So either you're there in spiritual form or you're there in physical form. If you choose Ryan, some other shit happens. And if you choose Navajo Joe, some other things happen.
Oh boy. Navajo babies?
So, all I'm saying is...
oh, I can't wait to do
Hannah
this.
Needs to hurry up and finish her fucking game. Because I wanted to know what her decisions were so we could be like, well, here's what happens when you be beyond. Because I know this bitch, and I have a feeling that she would choose life. But of course, now that I've said my shit, I might influence her. She might choose beyond.
No, because this...
What?
Going back to what I said before we did this show.
Yes, but which one are you choosing first?
See? All right, so here's...
See? That's what
okay,
I'm saying.
No.
Which
well
one
now,
are you choosing first?
Well, now I'm going to change it so that we can see something different. So, you chose...
Beyond.
I will choose life and see what that happens.
Well, I have to be there.
It's up in my bedroom. Though.
Why is your PlayStation in your bedroom?
Because I moved it!
When?
Like, several days ago, so I could have my private time.
So your Xbox and your PlayStation are now in your
room? No, my Xbox is downstairs in the living room.
Why did you bring your Xbox out?
Because I don't have enough room for both of them on my TV upstairs in my bedroom.
Well, now you've got to fix it.
Anyway, so that was Beyond Two Souls.
Seriously, the feels in this game, ridiculous.
So many feels. It was beautifully done.
Oh my god. So, seriously, golf clap for Quantic Dream.
That sounded like capping.
I don't give a shit. It was a great game. I'm looking forward to playing it on the PS4, and I can't wait to see what the hell these guys come up with next, because seriously, they take game and storytelling to a completely new place. I am so impressed. And like I said, I will play it again. I can't wait. Can't wait to do that. So, we have a question of the week for you guys for next week.
Oh, now.
Oh my god, Panda. Like, I did the perfect setup.
Sorry.
I exploded.
Anyway, so question of the week this week. What are you more
really?
What is it more you, or most? What are you more pissed about, or what are you the most pissed about? No, more. What are you more pissed about? Are you pissed about Target pulling the pre-order bundles for the PS4 and Xbox One, because they've recently done that, or Watch Dogs being delayed until spring of 2014.
All right, so let me put this into English, because seeing as
how... That was English!
It was mostly English, and even though I'm the one drinking, Panda can't seem to put the thought together. What are you more upset about? The fact that Target pulled some of the next-gen pre-order game bundles that were bundled with games that have now been canceled, or the fact that Watch Dogs, which was supposed to be out this month, has now been pushed back across all consoles to March of 2014. Go ahead. Tweet us using the hashtag #Eshquestion on Twitter. You can check out the question on our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofesh. Answer the question there.
On the podcast post that's available when it airs over at the Vogue Network on Tuesdays at 8 Eastern.
Which is vognetwork.com. VOGnetwork.com. Just go to the post and right there in the comments, let us know what your answer is. What are you most pissed about? And we'll share some of our favorite answers that come across those various platforms on next week's show, and even tell you what we're more pissed about. Because guess what? You can do that. This is interactive, because
you're participating on the Vogue Network.
Oh, now you decide to be on. Great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'm so glad you decided to join us on the show.
You're welcome.
You can check
out making sense now.
You can check out our podcast on the iTunes Music Store on your desktop, in the iTunes podcast application on your iOS device, and on the Xbox Store by searching for Electric Sisterhood and subscribing. You can get our podcast on our main website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can check out the articles that we're writing and our reviews and previews over at our home away from home, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. You can hit us up on Twitter.
On Twister.
Shut up. We can play Twister, but not like that.
Red hand on yellow, bitch.
What? That's not red. That's not red. You can hit us up on Twitter at ESH News. That's where you'll find all of our reviews, releases of new podcast episodes from everything on our network, including Boston Bass Brigade and Geek Aggro and The Issues Guy with The Issues Program. There's so much going on in the land
of
Esh.
So much!
You want to make sure that you check into all of it. And like I said, hit us up on Facebook. You got questions, we're going to have answers. That's where you're going to find them first. Then on Twitter, get with us, get active. We love talking with you guys. It's so cool. But I got to turn to my sister, because it's the time of the podcast when I say, Panda.
Yes.
What shit you digging this week?
I'm digging the fall.
Aww.
It's so pretty to look out my window and see the leaves changing and the turkey legs at the fair and the syrup on my pancakes.
Syrup.
Yeah. What are you digging this week?
This week, I am actually digging Etsy. There are just so many neat things that people are doing with electronics, and with holiday season, like, right around the corner, I am looking for some really creative gifts at a low, low price, because Broken Bitch November is about to be upon us. So I'm digging Etsy, because there's going to be, like, a lot of Christmas gifts that people get that came from Etsy.
Ooh.
So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out of here until next week, guys.
See you guys. And up next, Anime Jam Session.